Hello and welcome. You're listening to Coming Back to Life, the podcast that opens you up to growth and healing that will help you live the life that you desire and deserve the most while loving yourself in the process. I'm your host, Debbie O'Keefe. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you today, and I want to thank you for sharing the gifts of your energy and your time with me for this experience. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another incredible interview episode of Coming Back to Life. It is so great to be back here with you again. I hope you have all had a very healthy and happy couple of weeks since our last episode, and love to get the continued feedback on that experience that we had. And as fate would have it, I've been delivered an incredible guest that is going to tie very, very well into our last topic. And her name is Susie Wood, and she comes to us right locally where I am over in Westchester, New York. And Susie is an integrative nutritional health coach who works with women to get control of their lives, especially after major life stresses and divorce. She helps clients achieve their health goals by analyzing both food and lifestyle choices. And Susie has shared a very incredible experience. And when we think about the people coming on to this podcast and their journeys and experiences of coming back to life, and what this is all about is this idea of how any type of traumatic or life-changing experience, while at the time when we are going through it, that we believe we might not even survive it, like it's literally the end of our lives, it's the end of the world, how these can literally be the very blessings and answers to prayers that many of us say and many of us have, and those wishes for when is this going to end, or when is my life going to change, or when are things going to get better, and how these transformative moments can literally actually put you in the path and the life of where you're truly meant and yanking you out of the direction and the misalignments of where you had been before that. And Susie is going to share with us the many life changes in these transformations, everything from career choices, lifestyle choices, relationship choices, overall healing and wellness, and how you can literally pick yourself up from these experiences. So for anyone who is listening, in terms of any type of life altering experience. This can be the passing or a sudden illness or injury of a loved one, or for yourself that you're experiencing, a change in marriage, such as separation or divorce. It can be a move. It can be childbirth, child loss. It can be change of careers, really anything. How you can navigate and what it is that are the gifts in these experiences, but how it is that your choices of these experiences will really make or break the outcome. And that's really what this is all about. So Susie, thank you so much for being here with us. I am so excited to dive in and sink my teeth into what it is that you have to share.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Thanks for that great introduction. And it's so nice to be here with you.
Oh,
we could have done this in person because we're actually not that far away.
I know. It's so funny when we find these surprises. You say you connect and we meet all these people in all these different places. And, you know, Susie says, where are you? I say, oh, right in Orange County. Oh, I'm an hour away from you. So you never know how your experiences are going to lead you to the people you are meant to know. So, Susie, why don't you go ahead and if you could give us a bit of background. Obviously, you had experience with divorce, and just a bit about your life kind of leading up to that and all the signs and signals, you know, those taps on the shoulders where we know and we hear it, but we don't quite listen. And this comes and that comes, and your journey of experience of what was leading up to it, how you knew the changes that were made, and what it was that brought you to that point.
Okay. So I actually was living abroad for about 11 years. I lived in England, and I had very, very small kids. One child was actually born in the US and one was born in England. So lived there with very young children. I really did not have, I didn't have any family around at all. Being an expat is, it's very interesting. It's a fantastic lifestyle in many ways, but it's also in some ways, you know, really isolating. And so even though we were living abroad, we thought we were going to be there just for like 2 or 3 years. It ended up, we liked it. We stayed on longer and it was just sort of always extending a year, year by year. And, things started kind of falling apart in the marriage, early on. But I was like, I'm living abroad. Like, I have no family. I have no support here. Like, how am I going to, you know, raise two kids? You know, if I came back to New York, you know, how am I going to raise two kids on my own if my ex still stayed in England? Like, all these questions kind of came in my mind. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stick it out and wait till the kids are a little bit older and maybe it'll be easier. And I kind of made the decision then that even though I wasn't very happy in my marriage, I was still going to live my best life. I made a very, very conscious decision to say, okay, well, marriage isn't going well, but that doesn't mean that like my entire life has to, you know, go down with it. So I started taking classes. I was really interested in horticulture. Anybody who's been to England, they garden. Like, I mean, it is like the, I don't know, world capital of gardening. So I started taking horticulture classes and was really enriching myself. I wanted to maybe have a career in garden design. I started volunteering at basically like an equivalent of like a botanic garden. It was so fulfilling and wonderful. I got really involved in my kids' school. I did some odd jobs here and there because I wasn't working. We had, you know, we never really knew how long we were staying there. So I was working, you know, as a stay-at-home mom. But I really enriched my life and made a very purposeful meaning existence for myself. And going out and having something for myself, which was these classes and meeting people that I never would have come across, was really enriching. I'm like 88% extrovert. So I love being around other people. So even then, I made that decision to live my best life. So now fast forward, we move back to the States and get the kids all settled. And then that's really when, you know, the light was shining and I was like, this isn't going to work any longer. I mean, years had passed. So we decided to get a divorce. And anybody who's been through it or knows people who've been through it, it's a horrific experience. You know, dealing with lawyers, financial people, it takes forever. Even if it's a fast divorce, and mine took about a year and a half. Obviously, it's extremely expensive as well. And going through that is horrible. And I actually had I had so much stress going on in my life just between trying to parent my kids. We were still living in the same house, which is incredibly awkward. I actually moved myself to the basement just because he had to leave early in the morning, so you know at least I could have my own space and all of that. But the stress led to this horrific back pain that I had, and I really could not sleep. So it became like these physical ailments that I had, and my back was just absolutely killing me. It kept me up all night. I tried meditation. I tried yoga. I tried, you know, different relaxation techniques. I knew what the problem was. The problem was I was going through a divorce and I was really stressed. So, but eventually I just couldn't take it anymore. I went to the doctor and she said, well, here, take some muscle relaxers. Not anything I ever took before. I took them, didn't really know the effect of them and how strong they were. And I ended up getting into a car accident the next day.
Oh my,
I mean, God. Horrific, right?
Yeah.
Like everything kind of calmed down in the end. Like people were, you know, okay. One of the cars was like total though. I mean, it was awful, such an awful experience to go through. And that stress was just terrible. And people, you know, I've worked with a lot of people who are going through divorce and their stress, it can come out as like skin blemishes, you know, like all of a sudden they now break out and they have acne, they can lose their hair. They can have stomach upset, digestive issues. I definitely had that as well. There were times I couldn't eat or I was completely craving all the wrong foods. Obviously sleep is a huge issue. And when you don't sleep well, then the last thing you're going to be in the mood for is exercising or, you know, taking care of your body in any way. So like, there goes the exercise, there goes the sleep. It just snowballs into all of these things. So, once we finally made the decision to get divorced, and then eventually I moved out and started living my life, you know, with my kids. We were only about 10, 15 minutes away from each other. So we started the whole co-parenting thing. And I look back and I said, you know, why did I wait so long to do this? And I know the situation was unique because I was living abroad. But I realized that even though I made a good life for myself when I was in England, I had an even better life for myself once I got divorced and I could really do what I wanted to do. That's when I re-educated and became an integrative nutrition health coach and started working with other people to get their lives back in control after the stress of divorce. So it's it was a long process, and now I feel like I'm living my best life.
Oh, Susie, so so much here, and it's
yes.
What I love about this is how this ties in, and what I love to do with the guests that come on here is really highlight that, you know, we all come from our own journeys and our own experiences. And while the terms and conditions and the fine print of those experiences might vary, we are all still connected in some very similar experiences. So as, you know, as you're talking in terms, and I'm, you know, I love to be real. I love to be very authentic, very honest. And for those who remember, the interview I did with Carolyn Gallardo, I talked about our meeting and how I first came in and I was like, you want me to work with corporate people? Oh my God, that's like God awful, and how I wanted no part of that. And to be perfectly honest, in because of, you know, some things in my experience and still working through healing, when I hear things like, oh, I'm a nutritional health, I'm like, oh man, here we, you know, and I was explaining to Susie, she's laughing because I was explaining to Susie some of the things and the reasons why, but here's what makes Susie so different and so aligned with this message. And this was the defining element, is as you're talking, Susie, the thing that you're making clear here, and that's so many, and not through any wrongness in any way. It's honestly culturally, societally, in Western medicine and a lot of different, you know, the ways that we are taught things is you get sick, you go to doctor, you take pill, you, right. You know, you start exercising, you lose weight, you know, don't smoke, don't do this, and you'll be fine. But in sharing my experiences, the years, And I talked with Susie and didn't go in as much detail in my sharing, but the wave and the thousands of dollars, hours of time, and how many literally stomach flipping, gagging, you know, potions and plans and everything that I reached for. Mm-hmm. It was, oh, you have autoimmune disease. Well, now you're going to try this elimination diet. You're going to try the paleo diet. You're going to try the Ayurvedic diet. You're going to try this supplement. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Books galore and you name it. And what started to happen was not only was I confused and stressed and frustrated, and that will put more stress on your body, mm-hmm. but I was getting worse. I was getting sicker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this idea in terms of integration. And the key points that you were saying here are, you know, and notes that I made. I made the decision, I am going to live my best life.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking about this idea, like, you know, I tried yoga, I tried, you know, meditate, I tried. And what I love about this is it really speaks to that point. And again, I really want to highlight, these aren't mistakes or anything wrong or that there's anything bad with any of this stuff. But this idea, because, I mean, Susie, you know, there's so much out there, right? It's the mm-hmm. latest kick. Self-care, you do you, love you. And yes, this is important. But this idea that we talk about, especially for women, that if we just go get more manicures and we have more spa days, and we have more girl nights, and we'll be great. It's just stuff,
Yeah, that's all superficial though.
Right.
That's not going to heal us. I mean, if they're nice, they're, you know, hey, I'm not going to turn down a spa day, but
No,
that's
absolutely.
not where the healing
Love
really
me my
happens.
massage gift certificates, and they are important.
Right.
But what became the transformative moment for me was when I was switched on and pointed in the direction to understand the mind-body connection between symptoms and illness and disease. And the interesting thing being, and what I love about you, Susie, is this recognition that this isn't about people, you know, they don't come to you and it's like, okay, here's this book on that, and here's this program. People are unique. So you saying, well, I'm an extrovert and I love being around people. Well, what works for you is not going to work for someone who's an intense introvert.
Absolutely.
This idea that anything we can do for ourselves is a one size fits all cookie cutter model. And the other thing being that while one underlying cause of a symptom, so your back pain for you could mirror or be manifesting something very different for what another person is.
Right, exactly.
And the whole idea in this experience being that whether it was my experience with the symptoms or Susie's here or anyone else, that when you're in that place, and the car accident too, being no coincidence there, that all of these things, you know, we talk about, I always said, you know, when you get tapped on the shoulder and you don't listen, well, that's where they break out the big guns and they take a bat and smack you upside the head and go, are you paying attention now, Susie? No, she's not
right.
getting it. All right, time to total the car. And they go,
right.
Now we have her attention. Okay. And
right.
It's that wake up call going, man, I'm swallowing pills and I'm in pain and I'm not sleeping and this isn't working for me.
Right.
And it's time to literally, I mean, taking your car out, redirecting the course of your life.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the key here being, which is incredible about your experience and what I'd like you to come into a bit next, is we all have the gifts of those experiences. And there's one key thing here that we can have all the car accidents, all the symptoms, all the everythings that we want, and we can be guided, but it's whether or not we choose to take the gifts in those experiences and to make those changes. And that for you, I know in what it is that you practice in your life and with others, because you lead by example, which is the other thing so key here, that there's nothing about going out to help or to work with people if you don't honor this in your own life yourself.
Right.
Is this that the power of choice and your decision. So if you can talk a bit about that, not just in your own experiences, but in those who come to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like so much of getting your life back in control is all about confidence. And, you know, you've been through this horrific, grueling process of going through a divorce, and you often feel like you just don't know where to go. I mean, I remember being extremely confused. I didn't know who to believe. You know, my ex was telling me, you know, certain things, like, I mean, he's a financial guy, so like he knew all the finance stuff, but I didn't know if I could actually believe him or trust him. You know, there was trust that was broken down years before. So like, I was very skeptical of what, you know, what I could believe. And then, you know, you have lawyers who are advising you, but you know what, you're paying them a ton of money. And is it really in your best interest? Because like the longer this goes on, the more money they make. So
right.
You're like, can I actually really trust that attorney?
Mm.
I mean, you know, there has to be some level of trust, obviously, you know, and then there's other financial people that you have to usually often have to hire. Some people have to go into like forensic accounting and like you have to hire all these other people. You don't really know who to trust, and you lose that sense of confidence in who you are. And you know, for me, when I made the decision to actually move out before our divorce was final, and it was after a conversation I had with a friend, and she said, you know, I was like, I'm stuck here. I have to live here. I don't want to agree to the terms that my ex is giving me. So I have to stay here. And she was like, no, you don't. You, why don't you move out? And I was like, what?
Like, that's an option?
Why do you mean? Yeah, I didn't even know that that was an option.
Susie, I want to literally like freeze frame this. I want to, and I'm going to have you really go deeper on this because this is like a luscious thing right here. When you said that word, I'm stuck here. Excuse me, those words, that statement, everything. So I explained to Susie, there are certain points in these interviews where when somebody says something, I get behind me this like crowd of people that are just like, yes, that I want to know more about that. Susie, this thing about any confining situation for really anybody, but we are truly speaking, I think, to the heart of any woman, that whether it be, well, but I have little kids, but so-and-so is sick,
But I'm not working,
he's
but
the
I
one
don't
who
have
makes
an
the
income.
Money. But I,
right.
But yeah. I can't because I have no choice. I'm a victim to this situation. I am a prisoner to this. And I have to speak about this too, because this isn't even just in a marriage or relationship. If you are experiencing an illness or a disease or a job that you're
a
in.
Job? Yes. I was thinking about employment as well.
Exactly.
Right.
That you're just like, I'm stuck and I'm in a prison and there's nothing I can do. Speaking to this point that you are never a prisoner. It's not easy. It's not an overnight fix. It's not like you heard that and went, oh, boom. Well, I have the new apartment lined up. I have the money. I have, oh, I'm all set, right? It's not easy. But that moment for you where you were like, I am not helpless.
Right. I literally felt like the birds were released and they started flying. I mean, it was like this, I was so stuck in my own mind and in my situation that I didn't think that that could be a possible, you know, reality.
Didn't
that
occur
I
to
could
you as
move
an
out.
Option.
Not at all.
Wow.
So, you know, I, once she put that idea in my head, I was like, oh my gosh, like I actually can move out. And I mean, I needed the support from family. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, and I had that, thankfully. But that just changed the game, because then once I moved out and I settled in my new place with my kids, and again, I was only 10 minutes away from my ex. So like there was already co-parenting, you know, going on.
Right.
And the kids were going back and forth and they were in the same school district. Like I didn't have to do, you know, really upend their whole lives. So I was lucky that way. But that sense of freedom that I had, because then I was like, you know what? I don't really care how long this divorce takes. If it takes another few months, it's okay, because I'm living on my own now.
Because
I didn't
I'm
have that
okay.
pressure.
Yeah.
I didn't have that pressure of like having to see him every day and like, you know, me being in one room and him being in another room. And what if we saw each other and did, you know, am I going to make small talk or like fake it in front of the kids? Like, oh, you know, here's a happy smile. Like
right.
I didn't have to do all that. And it was just like the weight lifted off my shoulders. It was really empowering.
Oh,
and you know, and also he knew at that point he didn't have the control that he thought he had over me, and that was a huge release as well. So, you know, that started me on my whole journey of like, you know what, I can actually get my life back in control if I did this, if I could move out and successfully do this and feel good about myself. Like I could do anything. And then that's when I decided to, you know, go back to school, get a different degree. You know, I started dating again. I mean, like I wanted to put myself out there. And, you know, you can't do that until you're in a good place within you.
Yes.
You have to have the confidence. You have to feel like your whatever you're putting out there is going to be well received. Right. I didn't want to put out a broken person, because that's, you know, that's just not healthy. You know, you put out what you receive. So, you know, if I put out crap, I'm going to get crap back. So I wanted to put out like my best possible self. I started, you know, exercising. I mean, not to lose weight, but just to be healthy.
Right.
You know, I knew I needed to move my body. I started eating really well, I was always fairly healthy and, you know, I've always been into nutrition. But I cleaned up my diet even more. And I started sleeping better. I didn't have that back pain anymore because I knew what was triggering the back pain, right? So it was just like my whole world opened up again. I started hanging out with my friends. I always was, you know, as I said, I'm extroverted. So I always had a lot of friends around, but I made appointments with them so that I never felt alone. I always felt supported because that's really a big, one of the biggest, you know, complaints I hear from people I work with is that they're lonely. I mean, we're human beings. We need other people. Even the most introverted person needs somebody else around at some point. And that's the hardest thing about divorce is that people feel lonely. Am I ever going to find somebody again? Am I ever going to have a connection with somebody again? And whether it's romantic or not, you know, sometimes some people aren't ready to go into romantic relationships again right after divorce, but they want to have friends. So, you know, we talk about how, what activities can you do so you're going to meet other people? How can you enrich your life? And, you know, you can have these meaningful connections. And, you know, if you want to start dating, then that's a whole other discussion as well. But again, goes back to your confidence, and just having that feeling of self-assurity that you can do it. You can do what you set your mind to. Definitely a firm believer. Chapter two can definitely be better than chapter one.
We're going to take a break in a little bit, but before we go there, I just and when we come back, we're going to talk about two of the other big key points here. But before we take a break, I just want to hit on a point that you were talking about, because I also know in these experiences with divorce that, you know, you were saying things like, you know, will I ever find somebody, and, you know, romance. But there's also that other side of the coin, and something that a lot of people, and not exclusively to women, so this is really for men too. What you have to share on that point, where because of the arduousness of a divorce, this mindset that if I get into this again, dear God, I don't know that I want to go through that again. This idea that, like, you already have in the front of your mind how it's not going to work out, or if it doesn't work out before it does. And to all those people that are like, it's not that I worry that I won't find somebody, but it's just the idea of signing up for anything like that again, and how your experiences of what you've gone through the first time, how you overcome, for lack of a better word, you know, just for clarity here, I guess that jadedness of the experience.
But I think that's putting the cart before the horse because we don't, I mean, I often say, you know, go from A to B to C rather than A to Z.
Love
Right?
that.
Like you have no idea what this relationship is going to turn into. It could be one or two dates, or it could be, you know, 5 months, it could be 5 years. So why put that pressure on yourself that, you know, you go on the dating apps or, you know, you connect with people and usually it's dating apps these days. You know, I think it's a wrong mindset to go in thinking you're going to be finding your next life partner. Just go in and say, you know what? I might meet an interesting person. Maybe I'll meet somebody who's like working in the similar field. Maybe, you know, we end up, you know, knowing some of the same people. Like, you know, who knows? Maybe we just want to go for, you know, hikes or walks or, I don't know, play tennis or something like that. Like, it doesn't mean that you have to like treat this person that they're going to be your life partner because it's way too much pressure on that person, way too much pressure on yourself. So just take it for face value, going out for lunch or dinner with this new person and see where it goes. You know, it's just too much pressure because, you know, it's almost destined to fail that way. You know, if you think, okay, I'm looking for my next husband or wife, it's just, you know, it might happen. I'm not saying it's not going to. And, you know, I'm in a wonderful, healthy relationship now, going on about 2 years, and you know, it's wonderful, and I'm really happy. But that very first date, I wasn't thinking this is going to be like my next life partner.
I love that. So we're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with Susie with some more incredible insights. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, Debbie O'Keefe here, and I hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. I'm here to share with you two new, incredibly exciting opportunities to work, learn, and grow alongside me, and to take the next step in your journey and to go even deeper. You can learn more on my website, deborahokeefe.com. The first is the Coming Back to Life membership, where every week you will receive a unique intuitive download based on experiences in my own life and in the workings of others that reveal the guidance, the messages, and the insights that will take you along the way to make the changes and take action in your life to live as your best self. The second opportunity is the Rising Together Women's Community. This is a unique sisterhood, a tribe of belonging, where we all come together to create the support, the sense of belonging, and the endless uplifting inspiration that you need to maintain committed and to stay on track to make the changes and take action to live the life that you are meant for as everything you were created to be. Each of these opportunities are being made available on a sliding scale where you can pay at the level that is comfortable and right and best for you. No matter which level of contribution you choose, you will receive the same benefits, because I never want anything to stand in the way of your desire to help yourself and live your best life. If you'd like to learn more, you can check me out at deborahokeefe.com or message me at info@deborahokeefe.com. I look forward to being with you real soon and taking the next step in our journey together. Okay, so we are back here with Susie Wood, and we've been talking about how it is that true overall wellness within is the key of living the life that you truly desire most, the ones that you're meant for, and how any type of really traumatic or life-altering experience can be the very gift and that redirection for you that doesn't necessarily take you out of life, but actually puts you into the one that you're meant for most. And before the break, we were talking with Susie about, you know, just some of the many things in terms of, you know, after divorce and will I ever find somebody? And I'm not sure I want to get back into this and those types of elements. And one of the things that we're going to talk about now is this idea in terms of how essential the healing of yourself, and Susie, you talked so much about, you know, really having the confidence. And one of the things that I love to do most in this podcast, and I talk about this season of unlearning, is redefining these things that we, you know, we hear. We've heard the word be confident since we were little kids, right? To the point where even things like I love you, I'm sorry, be confident, they start to lose their meaning. It's like, what does that even mean anymore? And the truth is, for each person, that's unique and it's different. But when you're touching on this idea of your confidence, and I'm an extrovert, you're an introvert, what you need, what I need, and that when we are engaged in any kind of relationship, the importance of the true wellness within, like literally what that is, and how it is that we can really define what that means, and how it plays into really the context of any relationship that you might have.
Yeah, so I can talk a little bit about that. So your true wellness is really a factor of about 12 different lifestyle factors that need to be in balance in order for you to feel healthy and satisfied and happy in your life, as well as looking at the food. So obviously I'm in integrative nutrition. We look at food, we look at lifestyle, but the lifestyle factors are actually even more important than your food. Because when your life is in balance, then you're much more likely to make better food choices. You're going to be sleeping better. You're going to be moving your body. And, you know, so it all really starts with their lifestyle factors. So the Institute of Integrative Nutrition came up with the 12 most important lifestyle factors. And they're things like your home environment. You know, how are you living? Are you living in a cluttered home? Is everything organized? Is it not? That has a huge effect on what kind of stress. And I actually had some, I've had several clients who that's actually where they had to start, where they had, you know, their home office was just in just a mess. They had closets that were, you know, you couldn't even close the door. They had donations of things that they wanted to get rid of. And once we put a plan together to clear out their house, they're like, okay, great. Now I can sit down and talk about the other issues in my life and the foods that I'm having. And like, I'm addicted to sugar and da, 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 da. So the home environment is really critical.
Well, for sure. Like if your external environment is chaotic, then your internal environment.
Right. I mean, it's like a messy desk is a messy mind, you know, it's like that kind of that kind of concept. Right. And so there's other areas. So like home cooking, you know, how much cooking are you doing yourself? Because then you know what you're putting in your body. So that's really important. Your career, your finances, you know, what state are they in? Your overall health, right? And your level of physical activity. What kind of joy do you have in your life? What sparks joy, right? That's been a whole big thing the last few years, people talking about that. And what's your level of spirituality? And it doesn't necessarily have to be religious. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You could be one with nature, which is sort of more my thing. I love going out for walks, you know, listening to the birds and just clearing my head. Like to me, that is my, that's my spirituality. But you know, if you don't have that kind of outlet, you know, maybe it's a meditation practice. Maybe it's just some way of calming down, right? People pray, people just to like recenter. If you don't have that, that could be an area that, you know, you might need to work on. Creativity, obviously relationships. We've talked a lot about that. Education and social life. So those are the 12 lifestyle factors that I work with my coaching clients on, making sure that those are in balance. We start working with the ones that are out of balance initially, and then we work, you know, you work through those to try to get them in balance. And then that often leads to making better food choices and living a more holistic, happier life. So that's where I always start, is identifying which lifestyle factors are out of balance. And then that's how you become, I mean, the name of my company is True Wellness Within, because we, you know, we have to look at within. Each person is individual. We have this bio-individuality. It's in a way, it's almost hard to do group coaching because people are coming from things with such different angles. So, you know, the one-on-one coaching, where I can motivate them to keep going with whatever their goals are, you know, encouraging them to start new habits. I mean, there's just so many things that, I work with the clients on to try to get them to live their best life and to just get, feel like they're back in control.
I mean, and what I think was fantastic as you were even talking before the break, it was funny because you were talking about, you know, this pivotal moment where, you know, a friend totally just like, boom, right? Blew the lid off your, like, you just rocked my world. And, you know, proposing this idea, like, well, maybe you could make a change for you. And it was like, whoa. Right. And as you talked about this, and it was like the birds were released and this freedom, and there were three key points that I kind of extracted from that. And that what I get from your essence too, is this other part of it is when we look at these things individually, and it's interesting because before Susie came on, we had Reverend Nicole. And we talked about spiritualism and all the different, it's so interesting. You know, the Episcopalian Reverend with my local church, which I, as I expressed, I didn't think I was going back to church. Church found me. And I was like, no, we're not going down that road. But the point being of a new opening and awareness of what spiritualism can be and what that means. And then we, you know, met with Tania, who talked about her experiences with, you know, brittle bone disease and the choices and what it is that she makes. But there's these unifying themes that come together with any of these things. And three things that came up for me as you were speaking were freedom, support, and authenticity. And this idea that we can all go through the motions and we can reach and we can grab. And somebody could sit down with you and they can learn about your 12 steps and the 12 areas of life, and they can go, and they can be the most studious, teachable people and understand everything on a conscious level. And I don't say this in a mocking way. I'm actually speaking from experience.
Right. Well, education does not lead to transformation.
Exactly.
Right? You can know everything out there and be an A-plus student, but doesn't mean you're going to be changing.
And that's a very common mindset. It's like, I can just train myself, you know, because that's the rabbit hole I went to. I can learn my way in and out of everything. I can figure this out.
Yeah. You have to live it. You have to figure out what it is that is going to be the transformational thing for you. And that's where coaching comes in, because it's that level of accountability and that motivation to keep going and not letting you skirt around and be like, oh no, I'll just read another article. I'll get another book, you know, cause I've had clients like that. They're A-plus students. Oh, they take it all in and whatever, but it's like, you know, but you have to live the experience. You have to put some effort into it.
And it's funny,
and
because
that's when you're going to get the transformation.
What I hear coming up is that age-old adage, right? That poster that was up in every classroom. Knowledge is power, right?
Well, it is, but it's not transformation, though. And we want to transform our lives. We want to get our lives back in control so we can live our best chapter twos.
Well, I think, you know, and it's funny because, knowledge is powerful, but I think it's more like, it's like knowledge plus power, you know? Because without that, it's like, great, I just know a lot of stuff.
Right.
And quite honestly, what I noticed too is that actually leads to an increase in frustration and confusion, because it's like, I'm doing all the work and I know everything there is to know about this. So why is my life still not together?
Yes.
Why do I not have this figured out yet? What am I missing?
Right.
And Susie, as you were talking, is this the freedom of, first of all, knowing you always have the freedom to choose for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That for you, when your friend opened that door to that moment, knowing that you are a victim to nothing and no one.
Mm-hmm.
And the next key point being the support. And this is something in terms of, you know, the Rising Together community that I've been putting together is, you know, this place, it is definitely easier, especially, you know, for extroverts to find a social circle. But the one thing we know, and what any type of traumatic or transitioning experience teaches us,
mm-hmm.
is we do start to identify like, I have friends, but like, where's my tribe?
Yes.
And it's those core people, that friend that can look you in the eye and go, okay, I understand how you're feeling and I know this is hard for you, but because I love you, I'm going to go here with you. And I love you too much. Okay, we're not talking about support. And let's face it, because whether it's divorce, whether it's problems with your kids, whether it's, just a problem at work, whatever it is. And there's everything in terms of community and support groups and Facebook groups. We are not talking about the kind of quote unquote support where it's a group of people who help you be helpless.
Right.
Okay. We're not talking about that. Oh my God, I can't believe he did that to you. Oh no, he did. Oh my God, you poor thing. You.
Right.
Those are actually what I've come to learn. And they mean well. They totally, totally mean well because they love you and they want to support you. That's actually the worst thing for you.
Yeah. There's a saying, your vibe attracts your tribe. Right. So if you're putting yourself out there as like, you know, woe is me, or like, I'm so depressed and I'm so like,
you're going to attract the neediest.
That's exactly who you're going to get. So that's what I'm saying. You want to put your best self out there. And how do you do that? You have to build your confidence, you know, in those areas that are your weakest. But regarding support, I mean, I say anybody who is listening, who is going through divorce or knows somebody, I think you need to have a team. Right.
Yes.
And I think a therapist is a huge, huge benefit to anybody who's going through divorce, because your family and friends are there to help you and they love you, but it's so hard for them to listen you know, day in, day out, there's only
Yes.
so much they can do. And also it
Oh.
starts affecting them. Like
Yes.
I knew there were certain family members I was like, I just can't talk anymore about this divorce
Yes.
because it's upsetting them. And now they're having the stress and now they're not sleeping because of my situation. So having an outside perspective, whether it's a coach, a therapist, I think is absolutely crucial. And then
Yeah.
also finding like those online support groups. If you are more introverted, like there are Facebook groups. I have a private Facebook group of people who are going through divorce. It's called the Divorce Detox.
Yeah.
And I allow people in, like they have to, you know, answer several questions before I
Right.
allow them in. It's not just open to anybody, but
Right.
once they're in, we have this kinship and this community where people are asking questions. They're supporting each other. I put a lot of motivational stuff out there. And everybody's at different stages. And actually the first Saturday of every month, I do an online virtual call and we just have a support call. And people are calling in from all over the world. And it's just a great way for people to come together. They're all in a similar stage, whether they've just started their divorce or they've, you know, maybe they're 10 years out, but they can help each other because if you have the experience, it feels good to help somebody who's starting out. If you're lost and confused, you want to hear and see from people who have made it, who have recovered, who've moved on. And it's like that camaraderie, it's so special. It's a wonderful community where we all just support each other. And, you know, you have to find support in different ways. So, like I said, therapists, friends, family, you know,
I mean,
online.
that's such a key component, because what happens so much is, you know, in this idea, I love that point that you hit on, that it's like, okay, I'm having a problem with my family. And then it's, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, you're complaining to the same friends, or you're picking up the phone, or you're calling, you know, the people who are in it, or triangulation among friends. You know, it's like it's a group of friends and you're calling this one and you're talking about that one, but that puts that other friend in a difficult situation when it has to be around the other people, or even at a place of work. You have to have an outside perspective, because this idea, when people are in it and they're a part of it, first of all, they can't be objective. They cannot be objective.
Well, so especially if they know your ex, like that could be really tricky, right?
You're going to get a really, you know, it's a complicated position. So you're really not getting, and again, this word that we are constantly redefining through this experience is that authentic, genuine support. And the only way you can really receive that is when there are no strings attached. There's no ties to the situation. You can have connection through empathy and being able to relate to that situation, but to only have that support circle, and especially, I mean, it's very easy becoming wives and moms, we get into the home life and that circle narrows, but really knowing where you can go, because I think the biggest thing is, and what it took years for me to realize, is you can read the books, you can take the courses, and you can even try. But without that support, and to have those people that you can go to when you backslide and you backpedal and you screw up, and they don't let you, they go, okay, I understand that. And I'm here with you. And thanks, you know, thanks for sharing that with me. But we're going to keep going. So let's talk about tomorrow. You know, like they won't sit, they'll sit on the floor, they'll rub your back, they'll sit and hold space with you for a little while, but then they're going to stand up together with you and continue on that journey with you. The other part that you brought up was this idea, and you talked about this, that it is very hard to do things as a group, because when you said that part about, once I was living out on my own and I didn't have to fake it around my kids. Oh, look, yep, we're still playing healthy family, because we got to keep it together for the kids. Smile
That's
and nod.
Right. Shake, smile.
Oh, hi, daddy's home. Oh, God, he's home. You know, kind of thing. The importance of being able that in any lifestyle that you are adopting, that is, it is authentic and appropriate for you. Because let's face it, like, there are these things like yoga is the best thing for you. You have to try this. You have to do Pilates, right? How many people come at you have to do X,
yeah, but
Y,
only
Z.
If it, yeah, only if it works for you, right?
Does,
like if
yeah.
horseback riding is your relaxation thing, then go horseback riding, right? Like, again, it's like I always say as a coach, it's not my job to
tell you what to do.
I can help you figure it out, but like me telling you to do yoga, you know, 3 times a week, that's, if you don't like yoga, then don't do yoga. Like, that's not what this is about. It's about figuring out what you want, what's going to work for you, that's going to move you forward and get you to the place where you want to be.
So, you know, this is really a good opportunity to just tie this all together in terms of, as we end here, what it is that you would like to share to, as just your overall key message of, to anyone who is out there who is either in an experience where they know, this is not right for me and I need to get out of it. But, you know, I kind of joke, it's all the people with the big butts out there. I got
with
a big,
one T, not two.
Right. I got a big butt. Well, and we joke, you know, but sometimes those big butts can, you know, they make it hard to get out the door, you know, and that's
right.
Exactly it. It's our butts that just keep us from crossing over that threshold into where it is that we need to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, to all those that are just like, but I can't. And then, you know, as well as for those that maybe have gone to the other side, but are not quite in their place of their way, your message of hope on the other side and what it is that you have to bring to them.
Yeah, I would say that for anybody who is going through it, there's definitely hope. You don't have to let divorce define you. It's something you happen to have gone through. It doesn't mean that that is who you are. And so, I overheard a conversation a while ago. Somebody was saying that instead of being called an epileptic, she's just somebody who has epilepsy. And it's a similar thing. Like, it's a very different distinction. You're just somebody who happens to have been through a divorce. It doesn't define you. You can move on and live your best life going forward. So that's, you know, for somebody who's kind of like in the process or coming out of it. And there's a lot of work that needs to happen to get to the point where you're feeling joyful and happy and living your best life.
Right.
And for people who are, you know, thinking about divorce, like I'm not here to say that divorce is like the best thing ever, you know.
Right.
But
we're not divorce
I'm
advocates.
Not saying like, right. I mean, you know, it's, you know, if you can work things out, like try to work things out, obviously. It's a grueling process. You know, it's going to be very challenging, but, you know, ask the questions. I mean, what do you want out of this relationship? Do you think it's worth saving? Do you think you have the power within you to save? Can you forgive? Can you forget? You know, like there's so many questions. Can you trust? Can you trust this person if there was some breach of trust? Can you trust them again? Maybe the answer is yes, and that's totally fine. And you can work it out. And there's a lot of support out there for, you know, people who want to work their marriages out. And I'm all for that. It's just, you have to think about how do you want to live your life, whether you're going to be divorced, whether you're going to be married, single, whatever you want to call it. Live your best life no matter what your situation is. And don't feel like you're trapped. You really shouldn't feel that way. So that's kind of what I would put out there. You just have to think about yourself, and it's, you know, you have to put yourself first.
That, Susie, is the absolute embodiment of everything it is that as we come together in each and every one of those experiences is that reinforcement of what do you want? What is your best life? And that it's truly not about the misconceptions that doing what you want that is the key to your happiness or what creates your best life is selfish, because without that, we cannot show up fully for our children. We can fake it till we make it as much as we want. First of all, kids are not stupid.
Right. They'll totally see through it.
They can read
Wouldn't
through
you rather,
it.
Like, I mean, I want my kids to see me happy living in a separate home from their dad,
right,
rather than in the same home and being miserable. They can see through all of that.
And most importantly, you're living a lie to yourself.
Yeah.
You're not honoring yourself in those experiences. And that, Susie, is what I think your journey and your experience and the work that you do from start to finish is really all about, honoring yourself. And in that comes the honoring of everybody else after that. And that's what true wellness within yourself is really all about.
Yes, absolutely. That's right.
Susie. I truly want to thank you so much for the gifts of your time, your knowledge, your experiences, and so much more than just your experiences, but your willingness to find that purpose in and the meaning behind it, and your willingness to come out and to share, and that incredible leap of faith that you chose to follow to take yourself out of one career and a way of doing it, and to use these experiences to help so many who need this support and this guidance. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful. It's been great talking with you.
Oh, so mutual. And I'm so glad that we had the chance to meet. Anybody who would like to know more about Susie, you can check out where you can find her, as well as an online quiz that she offers in terms of further support, her Facebook group, and all the places that you can find her in the show notes below. And I want to thank you all for taking time out of your day and your lives for sharing this experience together here with us, and look forward to being with you again next episode. And until then, I wish you endless light, love, happiness, true wellness within. And thank you so much. Wishing you
Thanks
great
so
blessings.
Thanks, Debbie.
You're welcome. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.